Sports Radio 1290. CFRW, Winnipeg.
Yeah! Time to get a lift.
A division of Bell Media.
Sports Radio 1290 presents the summer edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 2 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game.
Just a quick shot. Score! Just like that.
Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
Hold on. This song isn't making fun of my age at all.
Yeah. What's my age again? Oh, we need that one next time. What's my age again?
There you go. It's a good thing it's a fairly common topic.
Okay, so we have this. We have a scale in the room.
Yes, we...
Not weighing the meat before we pay.
Like a human scale.
Human scale.
A scale for a human.
My brother's coming down, and he's an expert at eating. So we've brought a scale into the studio to make sure he weighs in. You have to be over 220 to be able to be an expert.
Richie,
like Jason Whitlock said on Twitter, I don't respect anybody's opinion on barbecue if you're not over 220 pounds.
I have a problem, though, with that scale.
How much do you weigh
during
on that scale?
During the commercial break, I stood on that scale. It says I'm 228 pounds. There's no way I'm 228 pounds. Maybe 226, but not 228.
You're not 228.
If I'm 228 pounds...
Timmy, do you know how much you weigh?
I'm obese.
Okay, Timmy, get on there. Right now, get on there, Timmy, and we're going to see if this is...
So, Tim, you know roughly how much you weigh, though,
Tim's
right?
165, okay. Then we're going to give you a buffer.
You know how much Tim weighs?
Tim just said he's 150.
He just said he weighs 150 pounds.
You just said 165.
Well, that means he's 15 pounds overweight.
Yeah, okay. We're going to test the scale for its accuracy.
Okay.
Now,
okay. On the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, we don't put people on a faulty scale.
That's right.
Yeah.
Timmy?
Oh, no, the scale, we seem to, I'll tell you how good this show is. We seem to be having difficulty even operating the scale properly.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, we're going to have to start small and we'll eventually get
that. Is this like the Illegal
way.
Curve Draft Combine? We eat sandwiches and weigh ourselves?
How many potato salads can Ezzy bench press?
It's a legitimate question. Anyways, we're going to unveil with an live on-air taste test the Illegal Curve Sandwich.
Hold on, Drew, how much do you weigh?
Ezzy, go help him while we break down the Islanders.
Yeah, let's talk about the Islanders Arena. Yeah. So they had the referendum on August the 1st, which was Monday?
Not a long weekend. It was Monday.
Monday.
Not a long weekend in the States, though, I don't think.
No, not a long weekend in the United States.
I mean, you're talking about people going to Hamptons and New Long Island. Like, people are at the lake. People are coming back from the lake. They don't want to go out and vote.
The conspiracy talk was that the Islanders deliberately set the vote for August 1st so that they would win because the people who don't care wouldn't vote.
People who care.
The people who don't care about this, this...
Whoa, hold on. Timmy, how much do you weigh on there?
I weigh 140.
Ezzy, are you 230 pounds?
No, Tim said he's 150. Hold on. That means that I'm 238? I'm obese.
Salad for dinner.
I think I'm disqualified from eating.
I just hope you don't have the first ever on-air coronary. That would be bad. Anyways, the Islanders had this referendum to get approval on a new arena.
Right.
And the talk was that they set it up to have the referendum on August 1st because the only people who had come out to vote are the Islander supporters.
Right.
Well, things didn't work out quite as well as they had hoped, and they, by a landslide, lost that vote.
I just weighed myself again. I'm 228 pounds. I'm only 5'9". What have I become?
Your opinion, that's great though. That means there's another second qualified candidate for the barbecue. For the contest. Me and Drew just have small character here, but me and Drew are going to be in a second. Me and Drew will be C and D.
Do we only have half shares of a
vote? We'll be C and D. Tim's opinion will be E, and Ezzy's will be B, and AP's will, my brother, will be A.
Richie, is the guy from Man vs. Food coming in?
I thought that's you now.
Yeah.
we spoke about it a little bit briefly last week. The Islanders.
Yep.
They lost this vote. Are they going anywhere? Does it matter that they lost this vote? Want a new arena, but who wants this team?
People talk about Brooklyn.
Brooklyn makes sense.
Queens.
It makes sense. They're building a new arena. The New Jersey Nets of the NBA have been purchased by a Russian billionaire. They're building a new arena.
It was already said. Larry Brooks reported on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in the post. I didn't read the post.
That he's not interested in the Islanders. Yeah. But a lot can change.
So he said,
Yeah, well, that's right. But a lot can change. A lot can change, especially when he realizes.
New Jersey Nets.
Especially when he realizes that he's going to need tenants.
That's a good one, Richie. I just caught on to that one.
You know, if he owns the arena, I'm not sure if he owns the arena or how it's working in Brooklyn so much.
Yeah.
But if he gets the revenue from the arena, why wouldn't he want another property to put in it 40 times a year?
Maybe, Drew, but. But the question is, I mean, is it a Long Island entity? Is Brooklyn going to be successful for basketball? And people aren't going from Long Island to Brooklyn now. There's five boroughs in New York. People know that from the Beastie Boys song.
Staten Island.
People know that, right? Because there's Staten Island at south. Mm-hmm. North is the Bronx. Middle is Manhattan Island. Northeast is Queens. And I think Long Island is above, even more north of, or more east of Queens. And Brooklyn's like southeast. So that's not a short trek.
No, especially in New York. I mean,
And you have to consider, remember who we've talked to in Arizona on this show, and I'm not talking about guests specifically, I'm talking about callers and...
Yeah, they won't travel if it's...
The Scottsdale-Glendale issue, Drew, Richie makes a really good point. If, you know, to me, this is a huge mess, is an understatement in Long Island. I think that you need someone to keep that team there and build a new facility eventually. I do not think...
We have a publicly funded arena here. This arena in downtown was built partially with public funds.
Now, again, mainly private arena money. This arena cost $140 million.
Yeah.
Not $400 million.
Why does an arena cost $400 million now?
That's what I don't get.
You know, why does the arena in Quebec cost $2.4 billion or whatever
it is? You're exactly right, Drew. I mean, everybody wants to go over the top. I mean, at the end of the day, does that actually put... butts in the seats. That's the question.
Well,
that's the question.
Remember when the announcement came, and you know, obviously you remembered, but shortly after the announcement made, and then the drive to 13,000 ticket drive came out, and we were talking about how people should look at True North's marketing campaign and teach that in school and follow that. How to do a successful marketing campaign. Same thing should apply to the arena. Okay, in Quebec City, the reason why they're proposing a $400 million arena is, Drew, because they have aspirations to host the Winter Olympics in 2000.
What's the connection?
There is no connection, but I'm just saying, I guess there's some type of
reason. No, in Quebec City, they're suckling on the taxpayer teat, because that's what they want. They want, I mean, it's all taxpayer money for the Quebec City arena. That's all it is.
I hope to be suckling on a corned beef sandwich in about 20 minutes.
Well, I'm not sure you should be suckling on anything, but, you know, I don't understand. Why can't you build a $160, $180 million arena?
It's a fair point. As you're being paged.
Yeah, you're being paged to go to the door.
Oh, I have to go pick up our sandwiches.
That's right. You have to let them in. They're making the sandwiches. But, you know, like, why do they need a $400 million arena?
It's a fair point, Drew. You know, I'll tell you one thing, it's a shame. I realize, you know, people in Atlanta will say the same thing. Poor management's probably led to this franchise being in the situation it is. Maybe, but maybe me being a traditionalist, the fact that there were four Stanley Cup champions there in a row, Mike Bossy, Brian Trottier, Clark Gillies, Bobby Nystrom, Danny Poppin, I could go on and on, Billy Smith, I could go on and on, Al Arbor. It's New York, first of all, so you don't want to lose a team in New York. And,
no.
And this is not Atlanta, where sports isn't a big deal. New York sports is the only thing.
In Long Island, there's no other teams in Long Island.
Long Island has more money than Manhattan.
Oh, tons of money. I mean, this is a...
And the rivalry between the Islanders and the Rangers is... I would love to go to a game. I want to go to a game.
A game that's meaningful.
Even between the two of them, just a passion. There is passion there. And...
It's not a bad hockey market.
No, exactly. I mean, it's been poorly run by Charles Wang, the bankrupt owners before that.
The criminals before that.
It may be. I mean, this team hasn't had solid ownership for a long time. Hasn't really been competitive aside from spurts into the first round since, like, 93. Since the Turgeon incident, for God's sake.
Yeah.
With Dale Hunter. Or 92, whatever. I think it was 93.
93, I think.
But you know what?
But I don't blame the taxpayers though.
I don't blame the taxpayers either. You feel like they have to come to some kind of here. Nobody wants them. Kansas City doesn't want them.
No, Kansas City's got a brand new arena.
Gone. I don't think Wang wants to sell either. That's the thing. That's the difference. Is that he doesn't. That's the difference between him and Atlanta. Atlanta wants to sell.
Yeah, they want.
He doesn't want to sell.
That's the part I don't understand, is why he doesn't really
want
to sell.
He wants a hockey team. He doesn't want a hockey team that's losing that much money.
But he wants a hockey team, but he doesn't want to actually pay for any of the arena upgrades or anything. So, I mean, he wants the best of all worlds. Yeah.
He says he wants his birthday cake. He wants Drew's 30th birthday cake, and he wants to eat it, too.
Well, there you go. So as long as you got a birthday reference,
do we have time for Callahan?
Next segment. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So next segment, we'll do that. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other team in New York, the Rangers, and some of their signings. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
a Friday night, I woke alone to get the feeling right. We started making out and she took off my pants, but then I turned on the TV, and that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23.
Nobody likes you when you're 29, 30, anything like that. What's my age again, boys?
What's my meat again? What's my meat again?
You're banned from meat.
What's his weight again?
After we just verified your weight, you're banned from the meat.
I can't believe I'm 230 pounds. That probably explains why I'm single right now.
Man, AP's coming in and his weigh-in. You might be A, he might be B.
Do I weigh more than your brother? He's 6'4".
And muscular,
too. 5'9".
Not nearly muscular.
Tell me this much, you know, by the time your wedding comes around, I better be back down to 200 or I'm not going to be fitting in that tuxedo that you picked out, Drew.
Never mind the tuxedo. You might have to buy two seats on the plane.
Tyler and Harrison, I just let them in. They're now preparing our sandwich. Both obviously owners of Meyer's Deli. I just spoke with Tyler and showed him he's going to be coming in here, obviously with Harrison, but he said that they are currently putting together a beef-like kind of pulled beef.
Ooh.
Brisket-ish.
Ooh.
So, I mean, let me tell you, there's a...
You don't like
this is going to be a hard decision later on.
Let's just say that I'm going to be 239 by the time this show's over.
Let's talk about the Rangers' moves over the past week or the past 10 days or so. They signed really two of the key components of the team. Yes. That's Ryan Callahan and Brandon Dubinsky. Callahan gets $4.275 million as an average annual cap hit over the next few years, and Dubinsky gets $4.2 million. You know, if you look at the Rangers' core right now offensively, it's Gabrick, Richards, Callahan, and Dubinsky. I mean, they got some talent on the back end with Staal and Girardi. How close is this team to really being a top-flight Eastern Conference contender?
You know, Drew, it's a tough race next year. But the addition of Brad Richards really, really does put them takes them to another level, I think. Takes them from the eighth slot to the 4, 5, 6 slot.
Does it take them up? Does it bump them up another 3, 4 slots?
I don't think they're as good as Pittsburgh. I don't think they're as good as Washington. Are they better than
Philadelphia
and
now?
And you say Boston, but yeah, they're. I mean, are
I'd
they,
say they. I'd say they might be better than Philly.
Yeah, and you could certainly argue that they're better. They're as good as other teams like Buffalo, and you know Boston won a cup, so they're in the 4, 5, 6 slot to me. And these signings, these guys are important parts of their team. You know, Brandon Dubinsky played the most ice time of any forward on the team last year. He played, you know, he played power play, he played penalty kill. Ryan Callahan played 19 seconds less than him total per game. He played power play, he played penalty kill. Ryan Callahan can hit, he can block shots, he's an energizer bunny, he can score a bit. He does all the things. He's a crowd favorite. Now, Dubinsky's probably going to move over to the left wing. So they basically have, you know, if they're going to play Richards with whoever in the first line, I think these guys will play together on the second line. And they're young, up-and-coming guys. They're both under 28. I mean, I think Dubinsky's 25. Dubinsky is 25, and I think Callahan's the same age. So, you know, you have to understand, too, something about these guys. Not that we want to, you know, factor that into contracts, but these guys are crowd favorites in New York. Like, Ryan Callahan is the favorite player. He's the Adam Graves now.
And the fact that they're American plays into it as well. But, you're going over the roster, Richie. I have to think that this team is, this is a team that's been developed, and they're about to hit their prime. I mean, you've got arguably one of the best goaltenders in the league.
Yes.
Well, you couldn't argue that. He is one of the best goaltenders. Lundqvist is one of the best goaltenders.
What they need right now is they need another defenseman.
Yeah.
And a veteran defenseman. Because Staal and Girardi can play against those best players, but you need a second pairing defenseman to pair with. You know, you're not going to be Del Zotto the way he was playing last year. McDonough was probably who you're going to pair him with. You have Tim Erickson coming up. You need a veteran defenseman, though, because they have so many young guys on the back end. Michael Sauer as well, and he's a right-handed shooting defenseman. You need another veteran defenseman, and then you're serious. You're serious. Nobody wants to play you in the playoffs.
Let's talk about
Callahan's 26, Dubinsky's 25. They're basically the same age. They provide many of the same attributes. I think Callahan last year was basically on pace for about 30 goals, and he is a... I love the way both the guys play. They're both heart and soul players. I have no issues with either of those contracts.
Let's talk about the defense, because, I mean, that jumps out at you. I mean, Staal and Girardi are quickly becoming well-known household names. But the other guys, you know, the Erickson, the McDonough, you know, Del Zotto took a step back last season.
Yes. Yep.
You know, what's the ceiling on these guys?
On who?
Start with Erickson. We'll go through Erickson, McDonough.
I'll let Richie jump in, too, to go over them individually, Drew, but, I mean... I look at it like the exact same way as Richie. I think fairly mobile. I mean, you know, compared to San Jose, maybe not so much.
Very mobile defense.
I think you look at this team, top to bottom, forwards, D, goaltending, and you say that you need a little bit more offense from the back end, because when you look at San Jose or Vancouver, you've got the Boyles and you've got the Burns and you've got the...
That's fair.
I mean, so I think that's what's missing. As far as their ceiling, I don't think any of those guys are one or two defensemen.
You want to... who? You think Stahl's number one?
No, sorry. Erickson, McDonough, Sauer, Delzato.
Aside from Stahl and Girardi, that's your top pairing. I don't think any of those guys are going
to
step up.
Erickson has big-time potential. I haven't seen him play. I like Delzato a lot if he can shore up his defensive game. He's a beautiful skater and moves the puck well. McDonough's got a nice skater as well. Are they top pairing defensemen? I don't know. But
isn't that a team that would have been in the market for a guy like Colin White? A professional defenseman who can come in and really...
The
I mean, obviously,
is, Drew? Yes, to an extent, absolutely. But they want to open slots up for those young guys. You really want a second
Colin,
pairing...
But does
you
really Colin White really need to play every game?
But you want but that's exactly the point. You want a second pairing defenseman to play the...
Well, Steve Emminger's the guy they brought in to be the sixth or seventh defenseman, right?
Yeah, but to play the right side, ideally, you want a stay-at-home defenseman to play the right side. I mean, ideally, you want a Robin Regier, the captain, to allow for that.
Right.
But that's the kind of guy you want. And obviously, those guys don't grow on trees. But that's the kind of guy you want, stay-at-home, solid defenseman to pair in the second unit. Now, Regier probably plays, he's going to play first unit in Buffalo. But you understand the point there.
You know, that jumps out to me as a bit of a concern. But then, you know, playing my own devil's advocate, John Tortorella is such a good head coach. I don't think that he's going to let them get... he's going to demand accountability by his young defensemen, even though they're young.
Yeah, I know, Drew. But they just don't have enough... They're not good enough defensively yet.
So, you know, what is the next... And offensively, do they have enough talent up front?
Yeah. I mean, look at your top two. You're going to have Gabb playing with Richards. You're going to have Dubinsky playing with Callahan. You're going to have Alexa Nitsimov. I really like the way he plays. Brian Boyle came into his own last year. You know, you can slide in guys like Fedotenko, whoever in beats Christensen, Derek Stepan, maybe. That good young player there. Lots of talent, lots of roles to play, lots of all-around players. Signed for big money. So, I mean, Richards and Gabrick can play big minutes in the power play. Dubinsky and Callahan pay penalty kill, too. I mean, you have a lot. There's a lot to like in New York, and you have a great goalie. You have a nice, good backup. A lot to like. The question is defense, especially defensively, after that first unit. And the thing is, Drew, you look at the... It's always about matchups. We talk about that all the time. But you look at the playoffs, for example, okay? You're Washington. You're gonna put Stahl and Girardi up against Ovechkin and whoever he's playing with. Likely, if Semin isn't traded, he's playing on the second line. Semin and whoever against two. I mean, are you going to be Madonna? Is it going to be Sauer? Is it going to be, is it going to be Emminger? Is Eriksson going to take the next step this year to the NHL? Whatever it may be, that's a mismatch. Whoever's on that, the pairing right now is a mismatch. You need to add another defenseman. But they have time to do that. They're going to make the playoffs as the roster is currently constructed. Yes?
We're fairly close to the sandwich hour. We're minutes
away. Gary just said that...
Gary being Gary Lawless.
Yeah, sounds like our sandwich is going to be low calorie and
no.
Due to your barrel.
And well, that's Ezzy's custom-made sandwich is going to be. The doctor's orders indicate that it's got to be low calorie.
Gary also compared our sandwich to a hot dog in the same display case as a ribeye.
Yeah, so
Gary seems to be emphatic that there has to be cheese. There's no cheese on our sandwich.
Kosher sandwich.
It's a kosher sandwich. The rabbi's here.
The meat isn't kosher.
Can we call you the Hebrew Hef?
I just realized something. I know
that's what Gary calls.
I know why where all this weight came from.
Lack of exercise and too much alcohol.
All the weight that Dave Minuk lost, he gave it to me.
Yeah, that's true. Even Steven. Drew's even Steven.
Mm-hmm. Dave's lost 20 pounds. He gave it to me.
How do you account for the other 40?
No, I've 210. I'm fine with 210. I mean, I am barrel chested, so.
Ah, stocky.
Yeah, I'm stocky.
Okay.
Not a stalker. I'm stocky.
Did you let AP in?
Is AP here?
He's for the weigh-in. He's here for the weigh-in.
Okay, I'll go get him.
Okay. There you go. As he's our doorman also tonight. So maybe we should head to commercial break and we'll slowly get started with the...
We also want to talk about five reasons the Jets will make the playoffs.
That's right. We'll do that next segment while everybody else is getting the sandwich ready. And then 7:45 will be the sandwich segment. How about that?
We're sorry, Dale Sasha.
Yeah. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. In King version to make fun of me?
Baba.
I'm glad it's only my 30th birthday once. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, also known as
We Love You, Drew. We do it because we love you.
It's the two-hour episode every week where I get fun of various things.
We've also confirmed that the scale is, in fact, accurate, and AP is qualified for the... we have done a weigh-in.
Yes.
Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson, or Ezra and AP, both have exceeded the 220 mark, so they both get...
Expert accreditation.
And you, me, and Tim are a little bit below.
As a part of your problem with the weight might be the fact you just ate AP's ear, like Mike Tyson ate Holyfield's ear. You know, you might want to cut back on that.
I'm absolutely shocked. I mean,
you're flabbergasted.
How much I weigh? I mean, I don't weigh myself ever. I don't look in mirrors either. But I'm really excited for those sandwiches. I'll tell you that.
Well,
much.
The sandwiches are coming up in about another 10 minutes' time. They're being prepared here. So
heavy salad.
Condiment applications happening right now.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Condiment applications.
That's always an important topic. We'll get to that. Let's talk about you guys. You guys both had a point counterpoint on the website earlier this week.
That was very Anderson Cooper of you, Drew.
Thank you. I try. You went five reasons why you think the Winnipeg Jets will make the playoffs this coming season, and Richie, you countered that with five reasons you don't think they will.
Mm-hmm.
Ezzy, let's start with your five reasons. I think you took the more challenging of the two opinions because most people seem to think that the Jets are not going to be a playoff team.
Right.
What jumped out at you first and foremost is, yes, this is the overwhelming reason why they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, and Richie, we should preface this by saying we already had this discussion 3 weeks ago, and this hasn't changed.
We're just fleshing it out.
We didn't list our
elaborated.
We're fleshing it out more. Is all.
And some of the reasons that I said the Jets were going to make the playoffs, and obviously the last one was kind of me and Richie threw in the whiteout, and that obviously is indicative of the crowd. It doesn't necessarily mean the whiteout, but the boost that the crowd,
sure.
You know, the sixth man, if you will, or the seventh player, but. I mean, I think that one of the main reasons why the Jets are going to make the playoffs is because of the youth on their team and some of the increased roles that guys are going to have on the team, whether it's Evander Kane or, you know, when Zach Bogosian is signed.
Wheeler Little.
It's a young team.
And let me get in there.
It's shocking, actually, that when I was doing a little bit of research, that research being
that
going to CapGeek and NHL Numbers, but those are two main sources. The Jets are the youngest team in the entire league.
And that's great. And what I countered that with, and I see the point, the potential. Yep. I just counter it by, you know, you pencil a bunch of guys in with a bunch of potential for certain benchmark in terms of points.
Yep.
You know, Evander Kane gets 60 points, 30 and 30.
You need more than that.
But what if he gets 25 and 25? Still a successful season. He's improved once again in his third season in the NHL. He's improved upon his second and upon his first. There's a lot of ifs, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if Blake Wheeler continues to play the way he did at the end of the season, what if he doesn't? If Brian Little plays like he did 3 seasons ago, what if he doesn't?
Hit 31 goals 3 years ago.
Exactly, but then he had 31 goals over the next 2 seasons combined. Yeah. So, sure, the potential is there. Little's talented. He's a scorer first. Wheeler's talented. They're all talented.
Well, but,
oh, boy, that looks
good. Myers Deli is here. Tyler and Harrison are in, and we have the sandwiches. The sandwiches are in the building.
Oh, boy.
We'll get
point two is that the sandwich looks amazing. Yeah.
Here, put the sandwiches down here. We'll get to them in about 5 minutes' time. We'll just finish off on this one, then we'll get to the sandwiches.
But no, on that point, there's so many ifs, ands, or buts. And I just think when there's so many ifs, you know, when you look at, Drew, when you look at Vancouver, or you look at Chicago or San Jose.
There's no way I'm going to be able to resist 5 minutes, Drew.
But what's the if, right?
It's really not that many ifs, guys.
No. For the Jets to make the playoffs, you're asking all of their young players to, A, continue developing,
right.
B, accelerate that development,
right.
And then
all at the same time.
All at the same time,
yeah.
And all have career years,
right.
And develop at the same rate at the same time.
Let me use a comparison here. Another team that we've focused on a lot, and people talk about how they can take the next step, St. Louis.
Yeah,
well. Every year, these young guys, it's their year. Look how much young talent they have. These young guys, Berglund, great a couple years ago, not good the year, 2 years ago, okay last year. David Backes, he's kind of taking steps. David Perron got injured. A bunch of young players. I mean, Alex Steen has progressed a bit. But look at Eric Johnson, didn't progress. For every guy who exceeded expectations, another guy, you know, was below those expectations.
And that's why they haven't, you know, that's why they haven't developed into a consistent winner. That's the problem. Not the problem, but that's the, you know, the life of a young player, what you have to expect from a young player is that there's just no telling necessarily when or if they're going to make that next step.
Well, Drew, I think since the lockout, what we heard, you know, ad nauseum was that in today's NHL, it's all about youth and all those guys kind of, you know, it's a young man's game. It's the Sidney Crosby era. But on the other hand, like Richie just said, St. Louis is an example of a young team that still is a while away. And then you have to look at Edmonton as another team that's very far away from being from these guys developing. So youth, in a way, it's a young man's game, if you want to call it that, more so now. But the Jets, realistically, I mean, I'm being optimistic that I think the Jets can make the first season, make the playoffs in the first season, but they're at least, I would say, 3 or 4 years away from maturing into a really good hockey team.
Your second point was that you think Pavlich will be a Vezina Trophy candidate.
Yeah, and that's also a bit optimistic.
I agree with you that he has the potential to do that.
For the Jets to make the playoffs, he played 58 games last year. Yeah. For the Jets to make the playoffs, he doesn't necessarily have to play 70 games, but Pavlich is going to have to steal games, especially considering they're in the East, and they're going to be playing big teams. The East is bigger, and there's a lot of talent. When you're playing the Pittsburghs and the Washingtons, he's going to have 40 save games.
Last year, he had a bunch of those big-time games.
And then he went through a little bit of a drought, but...
And the conditioning was also an issue with Pavlich last year. So, if you look at his, and people talked about that, Mason talked about it, Pavlich has talked about it. Look at his first half stats and his second half stats, two different players. Talent-wise, he's there. If he gets in condition, he can play. I like what you're saying there.
Yeah.
The potential is there.
But again, is it a year or 2 years too soon? And I think that's my fear, is that it's a year or 2 years too soon.
Yeah. And once again, goalies don't usually mature at 23 years old. He's 23 years old. That's very young.
Yeah, that's true.
But he has a Calder Cup under his belt. He's a very good goaltender.
He's got the talent. We know that.
He kicked, Kari Lehtinen was a first overall draft pick, and they traded him because they had so much confidence in Pavlich. But again, it is a bit of a reach to say he's going to be a Vezina Trophy candidate. But then again, I'm just trying to stir the pot a little bit.
What was his third point?
His third point was defensive depth.
And again, Atlanta last year had the second worst defense in the league. So you're looking at the team, you're saying defensive depth, but if you look at their top four defensemen, you've got Tobias Enstrom, Dustin Byfuglien,
presumably Zach Bogosian,
and then if you want to throw in as your fourth defenseman, Johnny Oduya or Ron Hainsey, and then you've got Mark Stewart, you've got Derek Meach as possibly your last defenseman.
But Meach is your eighth, because Jones is your seventh, because he's on a one-way deal.
Yeah. Jones would be ahead of Meach, but if you look at that group, it's a pretty good group. And I don't think that they're going to be... once again, I don't think this is a top 10 group, but I really don't think...
There's talent there,
think you can expect, though, that group to be 29th in the league.
I agree with
that.
Totally agree.
Last year was a bit of a gong show towards the end of Atlanta. I think their defense is pretty good. I would say their defense is top half of the league, for sure.
You can certainly make that argument.
Point four.
The Eastern Conference is not that good. And I wouldn't say the Eastern Conference is great, but I just don't think the Jets are that good. So,
right.
And you look at the top teams, you said, this is the two things this is the thing that stood out and got people angry. And I'm not sure if you were trying to incite the crowd, the masses.
It's funny how people can get angry that I'm predicting
the Jets
to make the playoffs. You said
they're better than Philadelphia and Montreal.
I think Philadelphia took a step back.
Sure, but
I think Montreal...
Okay, look, let me just ask you this, okay?
Yep.
Let me just ask you this. Top six forwards. Giroux,
yep.
Van Riemsdyk, Voracek, Briere, Hartnell, Jágr. Or Little, Wheeler, Ladd, Kane, Bernistrov, and Fair, when healthy. All due respect to the Jets.
Yeah, there's no comparison. That was the one that jumped. I mean, I'm not quite sure.
I'm expecting Ilya Bryzgalov to let in 5 goals a game. Out of those two teams...
They might score six.
Out of those three teams, okay, Winnipeg being one of them, I think definitely Winnipeg is better than Montreal. I know Richie disagrees with that. I think Winnipeg's a better team than Montreal, and that's not a knock against Carey Price. I just think that Montreal's not that good. Philly is maybe a bit of a reach as well, but... Hey, I'm just trying to.
It's an opinion.
I'm trying to support my point. It's an optimistic point.
It's an opinion piece.
We'll go to five because our fives were the same. He said the whiteout would be a factor. I said the whiteout, as much as it's hopefully going to be a factor, won't be because there's not enough talent.
I think the crowd is basically, like I said before, the whiteout is meaning the crowd is going to give the team a break.
Forget that.
Couple
the question
games.
Is, will they have Myers-Deli available
at the arena? That's a good question. We'll have to ask the guys that after we go with these commercial messages. On the other side,
early break,
the Illegal Curve sandwich is unveiled live on air. We have a taste test.
See what's in the sandwich.
We're going to do an on-air taste test. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to unveil the Illegal Curve sandwich available at Myers Deli. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. In the evening. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on this Thursday night. Find us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. And of course, the website is www.illegalcurve.com. We're now joined in studio and on air by Tyler and Harrison of Meyer's Deli. Gentlemen, we are here, as we've been speaking about for the last 90 minutes or so, to do an on-air taste test of the different options available to us to make a determination of what the Illegal Curve sandwich is going to be at Meyer's Deli, located on Grant Avenue. Let's start with the, I believe it's a corned beef sandwich first. Do you want to maybe tell us what's in this, tell our audience what's in this sandwich?
Well, I do believe this one was actually designed by you gentlemen, if we can still call you that. That one is starts off with it's a hand-cut city rye bread. Then it has a layer of Montreal smoked meat, and by special request, homemade potato salad in the middle.
Love in the middle.
And then on the bottom, we have Chicago 58 corned beef, which is the best. So you better...
Let's take a bite, guys, and we'll go around the table and discuss it. This was the one that we requested. This one initially.
Yeah, and the experts first.
Yeah. So we brought in Adam Pollock. That's Richard's brother, because he likes his sandwiches. Let me tell you.
I don't need to try the other sandwiches. I like this one already.
Well,
it's got hot mustard. Smoked meat. It's unbelievable.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to talk before I actually looked at the sandwich, and the sandwich looks quite exceptional. The potato salad really
nice go, Morgan.
Brings out a nice little Big Mac flavor to the sandwich. It spaces it out. And the spice on that's great. I'm a big fan.
That is a homemade hot mustard.
It's a homemade, so it's a hot mustard. Yeah.
I said for hot mustard on the Facebook thing, and I think you guys listened, so I'm happy with that.
Absolutely.
Drew,
I'll have a bite on air.
That's a very nice sandwich. I like how lean that the meat is. I'm a big fan of a lean meat, so I quite like that.
We can do that for you every time.
talk right into the mic there, guys, they can hear you there. So that's the first taste test. We're going. Everybody here is enjoying a little bit of the sandwich, as he's enjoying
I gotta tell you guys, this is unbelievable. Yeah. This is unbelievable. And the fact is, I just took a bite. Some of the potato salad comes out. And you can, it's like it becomes a side. It's part of the sandwich. It becomes a side. It's unbelievable. We have a winner. We don't even need to try the other ones. We will try the other ones.
That's option A.
There's a lot of options available to us. The guys from Meyer's Deli have brought a number of different options down to the table.
It's like this George and the Snickers.
That's right, from Seinfeld. Exactly.
Now, Ezzy is going to come in and eat all the sandwiches before anybody else does.
Ezzy, you're allowed to sit down and eat. There's no reason why you have to be standing.
I don't want
to
choke. I have a tendency to choke if I chew too quickly. But I have a question for Harrison and Tyler, though.
Yep.
Can we finish the sandwich, or do we take a couple bites and then move on to the next one? Because I really want to finish this one, but...
Well, this is like the Food Network.
You're more than welcome to do whatever you want, but long story
short...
There's
no rules.
There are no rules.
Okay.
But what I am saying is that's a pretty big sandwich, and I'd be... hard pressed to think that you can make it through all three of them. So
well, after Eddie's weigh-in today, we
smells like a challenge.
Well, after Ezzy, you guys were preparing the sandwiches. You missed when we weighed Ezzy on air, and I have faith in Ezzy being able to
I'm
eat
legally
that
obese.
Sandwich. Let me
we
ask.
We actually did hear.
We caught it in the truck. On the
oh, you guys heard it on the truck. Okay, so that's good. Now let's talk about this compared to the Hustler and Lawless sandwich. Now, I understand that's not, it's sort of a, you can come in there and you can order, it's any kind of deli meat, it's not a specific one kind, is that right?
Well, their specific sandwich, they had fought over whether it was going to be turkey or pastrami, because we brought them in samples.
I heard that commercial, yeah.
So we came up with the combination of the two. And in between their layers is a layer of, what's it called, beet horseradish.
Real good, the real strong horseradish.
Yeah, it's spicy stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're all very familiar with beet horseradish, given the Jewish high holidays. It's usually a staple at our dinner tables, of course.
Of course.
Now their sandwich, do I understand this correctly? It's 350 grams of meat?
Yes, they had a special request for the largest sandwich in the city, and we met that for them.
Have you had that cleared by any physicians? Is that healthy to eat that much meat in one sitting?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we are. So your liability is there's no liability to Meyer's Deli if somebody tries the Hustler-in-Law sandwich.
Just a quick update to the people who don't have video as he's finished the sandwich.
He has not stopped eating the sandwich the entire time.
Sorry, Tyler, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's endorsed by every cardiologist in Winnipeg, so there you go.
That's good. That's good. So you guys are in cahoots with the cardiologist, so we can definitely say that. That's for sure.
We usually have one on hand in the store anyway.
Just in case they come in and anybody orders that sandwich. So it's been a very popular addition to the Meyer's menu, is that right?
It certainly has, absolutely. We actually had two guys come in from Steinbach today, and they came in about 15 minutes after closing, but they demanded an H&L, so we let them in, and we made them for them.
Wow, that's customer service. You can get a Meyer's Deli right there. I know you're on Grant and Centennial. What's the exact address?
1842 Grant Avenue. We're just right behind Superstore.
There you go, 1842 Grant Avenue. Ezzy really did finish that entire sandwich.
All right, Drew, did you even try it?
Yes, of course. I've been pacing myself, though.
Option B?
There's a bite.
Let's move on. The end, AP are A and B, the two registered
sandwich experts.
Sandwich offenders.
Yeah. Guys, I don't know how we're going to top that, because that was unbelievable.
Okay,
let's
see.
I mean,
I'm ready for the next AP. One.
Okay, so let's move on to the next sandwich here. And we have two, this is sort of, there's three sandwiches all together here, but the next two are sort of similar, right?
Similar, but different, distinctly different.
Similar in the meat, is that right?
Similar, both sandwiches have the same type of meat, but distinctly different in the way they're finally prepared. Just to give you a little background on this, the boys here at Illegal Curve were looking for a beef brisket sandwich. And so we kind of rose to the occasion here. I'm a huge fan of barbecue and been to the World Barbecuing Championships. And if there's one common denominator between all great pit masters, it's low and slow. So we got some pulled beef here for you with some red onions in a vinaigrette, and then we got some lettuce, tomatoes, and some balsamic glaze on it for you.
Ring the bell, it's done. It's over.
I agree, this is unbelievable. Can we do this every week?
I didn't even know you could get this in Winnipeg. It's over, it's done.
Is that good?
I didn't think the first sandwich could win. Now I actually like this one better.
Well,
this
is unbelievable. Talking all
the vinaigrette, the meat. Oh my God, the bun and the bread, sorry.
What kind of bread is this? Because is it a ciabatta of some sort?
It's actually called a filoni.
A filoni?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing.
So I mean, it's
Can we have
good.
A triple-decker sandwich? Like, we'll put each sandwich on top of each other?
For you, Ezzy, anything.
This is unbelievable.
So
this is a 10 out of 10 sandwich.
Yeah, so really this is a, it's a, it's a smoked pulled beef on a filoni. With a lettuce and red onion, is that right?
In a vinaigrette. With a balsamic glaze.
Wow.
With a balsamic. So it's a separate vinaigrette and glaze, is that right?
Separate, yes.
Okay, well, it's a very impressive sandwich, I must say.
Drew, we still have a third sandwich to go.
Yep.
Yeah, well, let's just go around the table and talk about it. I know that AP's already declared it to be over in terms of,
the first one was great, too, but this one was even better, and I mean, you can name all three of them the Illegal Curve sandwiches.
you'd be okay with that, right?
I would be totally okay with that.
Ezzy, are you still? Is this the new front runner right now? Before
I'm being
we get
serious
to sandwich
right now, I thought
three?
The first one was unbelievable. This taste, you got to taste this sandwich. You got to taste them all. But I don't know. I'm not. We're going to vote during the break, right? But
No. We're going to go to
cheers
what
and cheers.
We'll do cheers and cheers. Not yet. We'll do cheers and cheers, and then we'll go to the.
It's an unbelievable
the voting round.
They're both unbelievable, but this one is, I would say, better than the first one.
Now, when we first, was this created by a sandwich artist, like a professionally trained sandwich artist? Is that what I understand?
We brought in some consultants for you on the sandwich.
Some consultants. Okay.
Yes. Like this when we say consultants, we mean like Red Cousin.
A cousin. That's okay. We're not picky about who the consultant is. But is this a meat that's currently readily available at Meyer's?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if somebody went in there and didn't, they wanted to bring some of this home in a non-sandwich form, what would they ask for?
Smoked beef.
Yeah. So just the smoked. Just give me the smoked beef.
Yeah, the pulled smoked beef.
I'm not talking about not a sandwich. I'm saying if they want to order a sandwich and then they want to order a pound of it to go home with. So this is just go in to Meyer's and get the smoked beef. Now, Richie, you've been stuffing your face.
Did Drew just place a meat order live on air?
I wish. what's your take on this sandwich? We haven't gone to you yet.
So much flavor. In all honesty.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, you already made your point already. Yeah.
I can't handle this. It's overload.
Yeah, no, actually, in all honesty, like, so much flavor, so unique. Where else are you getting this sandwich, AP?
You can't find this in Winnipeg.
It's a Philly kind of sandwich.
Yeah. Southern, like, you know, in the States.
Are you tearing up?
I don't know how to talk right now.
Let me just tell you, can I just come in here and update? As he just finished the second sandwich?
Oh my God. And his mouth is full.
AP's tearing up, and for good reason.
Ezzy now weighs 245 pounds. let's go on to the third sandwich before we have to go to the cheers and jeers. Why don't you describe this sandwich for the audience?
Same sort of basic concept with the smoked beef, except this one has a rather unique barbecue sauce that's infused with the meat, and then... what it has with it is some onions, red onions, and a vinaigrette as well, and then just with lettuce. But it kind of kicks it up a notch with that barbecue sauce.
Here we go. Interesting. Everybody take your... Ezzy's already finished the third sandwich.
Ez?
Let him swallow. I'm afraid he might choke otherwise.
It's very good. It's less saucy than the previous sandwich.
Well, I'd actually like to clarify, as you
am I eating the same sandwich again?
No, you ate the sandwich, the barbecue sandwich first, actually.
So Ezzy has screwed up the order, is what you're saying?
You got tomatoes in yours?
Yeah.
That one?
Hold on, so I was going along with AP as if we were eating the same sandwich.
No, your correct sandwich.
I'm eating the correct sandwich.
Yeah.
AP, okay. I like it a lot. It's kind of got that tang from the onions are strong and the tomato in there, but... Actually, no, I'm not going to say my winner yet. We're going to build some anticipation here.
What, Timmy, are you ready to go to Cheers and Jeers?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's go to Cheers and Jeers. Afterwards, we'll announce our winner.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy. And Jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something sticks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
We're gonna. We're now negotiating which sandwiches we're all eating.
That one, isn't it?
So the one without tomatoes is the barbecue.
They're different breads, right?
Same bread.
Oh, really? Same bread on both of them. I think we're okay. I think I know which without sandwich tomatoes, is which.
Yeah.
This one's the barbecue one. That one's the one with just plain beef.
This one is the one with the. This one that I'm pointing out is the one with the vinaigrette.
That's the barbecue one.
Okay, I'm ready, Drew.
Okay, Adam, we'll start with you.
Sandwich number two, the one I am holding in my hand. The heavy barbecue one is...
The one with the vinaigrette. It's got the vinaigrette and it's got the balsamic, right?
Nope. This one just has... this is the one with the barbecue sauce.
This one's no messing around. It's just barbecue.
Yeah.
That is my winner. It gets a straight up 10. I will be ordering it at least twice a week. And, everything else was good, too. I'll probably get that one on the other days, but...
Lawless is outraged, by the way.
Lawless is outraged.
He says boys expect him tomorrow.
So AP's voting. AP's voting for number two with the barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number two is. Oh.
Wait, your turn.
Sorry.
Okay, Ezra.
I want to step in.
You've managed to eat all three sandwiches in 10 minutes.
No joke, by the way. You're actually finished.
I got a little bit left here, and we got some pickles too, so we're all good. We're partying.
Some very big pickles.
So, I want to first off thank Harrison and Tyler for coming in because you've made my dreams come true tonight. First off, they're all 10 out of 10. I got to go with AP. I concur with AP. The barbecue sauce, number two, with the pulled beef, it's unbelievable. I'm going to go with that.
He literally
got to finish the sandwich.
Literally, I think he just had a heart attack.
You actually did. You're like Chris Farley when he coughs up the steak.
Richard.
Number two. The most... They're all great. But number two is the most tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... Design, creative, love it, number two. And how could I go against the two heavyweights here?
It's true. You'd be hard-pressed to go against both of them. I'm going to make it unanimous. I have number two, and it's the sandwich, as far as I'm concerned. That's unbelievable. It was, it was everything I'm looking for in a sandwich.
It really was.
You know, it's everything I was looking for in a sandwich. Now, is it going to come with a pickle?
Yes, it will.
It will come with a pickle.
A very large pickle, Drew.
That is a large pickle. So you're going to get this sandwich. You're going to go into Meijer's. You're going to ask for the illegal curve sandwich.
That's right.
It'll come with a pickle.
You got it.
And I don't know if you guys know this answer yet, so I might be putting you a bit on the spot. What's the price tag?
Exact same as the Hustler and Lawless. It's $9.99.
Hold on. Do we owe you guys $9.99 for each sandwich?
No, Ezzy, you owe them $30. You ate three of them. That's it. We have a winner. We have the illegal curve sandwich. You want to recap one last time what's on this sandwich? Just so for our listening audience?
Low and slow pulled beef and a real heavyweight barbecue sauce and some red onions in a glaze and some lettuce.
Amazing.
It's amazing. It's done. We have our sandwich.
Done.
Sometimes simple is best.
There you go.
Thanks a lot.
The summer of the illegal curve sandwich is the contest is now concluded. We thank everybody for their entries. We thank Harrison and we thank Tyler from Myers Deli for coming down and playing this little game with us. We thank everybody for listening. We thank Joshua Cooper from the Tennessean and we thank Jesse Rogers from ESPN Chicago for joining us. We'll be on the air again next Thursday night, 6 to 8 here on Sports Radio 1290. I'm actually away, so you guys will be doing your thing.
Last update, Ezzy has finished all three sandwiches.
Ezzy has finished all three sandwiches.
Me and AP both finished all three sandwiches.
Good work, guys. These sandwiches are terrific. Get them at Myers Deli. If you don't want, there's also the H&L sandwich you can get there. Definitely go check them out. Myers Deli on Grant Avenue. It's well worth it to go there. For Richard Pollock, for Adam Pollock, for Ezra Ginsberg, for the Steak Brothers, and for producer Tim, my name is Drew Mindell. We thank you for listening, and we wish you good night and good luck.
Been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for Serious Hockey Talk Thursday, August 11th, right after H&L. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, exclusively on Sports Radio 1290.